Wonder Woman is officially coming in 2020. Channing Tatum may start the Dark Universe again. And we got a new trailer for The Boss Baby all coming up on Live Action Remake. Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego, and we have a lot to talk about. We have Wonder Woman, sequels, spinoffs, delays, so much to get into this week. Let's get started with some trailers, starting with We Can Be Heroes, coming January 1st, 2021. I know I've been talking about this so much the past couple of weeks, but we finally got a trailer. The first look shows us a world of superheroes that seems to be taken over by robots, and now the kids have to step up as the superheroes are all captured. Sharkboy and Lavagirl have a daughter who seems to have some water-based powers, so I want to say I'm very sorry to anyone who listened last week. My theory was wrong. Pedro Pascal is not Slavaboy. There's a Slavagirl. I'm sorry. JJ Dashnaw appears to be a stand-in body double for Sharkboy. Looking into it, I found out that Dashnaw is appearing in a silent cameo. He is not going to be voicing Sharkboy. He's barely going to be in it. His face is going to be obscured by a mask, so that way, if there is ever a sequel, Taylor Lautner could potentially return in a future film. So they were thinking long term. I just think Taylor Lautner wasn't available for this movie. So hardcore Sharkboy and Lavagirl fans, don't worry. Taylor Lautner may return one day if this movie is good. Priyanka Chopra appears to be the villain of the film. Pedro Pascal seems to be some kind of ninja warrior. Seems kind of cool. You can actually see the images and the trailer on our Facebook page right now. I'm pretty excited for this. I'm happy that I have something to look forward to for next year. The next trailer I want to talk about is Chaos Walking with Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley. This movie was supposed to come out 2 years ago. It's an extremely generic looking book-to-film adaptation, a sci-fi dystopia. I'm not super excited about it. Nick Jonas and Mads Mikkelsen are also in the film, so those are some pretty good actors. Who knows, maybe it'll be good. Check it out on YouTube. I didn't put that on my Facebook page because I'm not particularly excited about it, so I'm sorry. The last one I want to talk about is the long-awaited sequel to Boss Baby. We got Boss Baby Family Business. Unfortunately for hardcore Boss Baby fans, Tobey Maguire will not be in this one. James Marsden took over the role. Alec Baldwin is returning. Amy Sedaris and Jeff Goldblum have joined the cast. It appears to be taking place in the future where they are already adults and they have to go back to the baby shop, whatever Boss Baby works at. And so they take a formula to turn back into kids for 48 hours. It looks really dumb, but maybe you'll enjoy it. So go check out that trailer for Boss Baby 2, Chaos Walking, and We Can Be Heroes. Now on to big movie news, starting with Wonder Woman 1984 will not only be released in theaters December 25th, it's coming to HBO Max as well. It'll be available for free for 1 month to HBO Max subscribers. This now goes into direct competition with Soul and Monster Hunters, which got moved up to Christmas. And this sets a really interesting precedent for superhero movies from now on. Will Black Widow be moved to Disney Plus? Will other DC movies get moved to HBO Max? The Suicide Squad? The Batman? What does this mean for the future of film? I don't know. It seems like we're leaning toward streaming now, which kind of makes me sad. But on a happier note, I'm really happy we're getting Wonder Woman this year. The director was not particularly happy about it. I know Patty Jenkins didn't want this to go to streaming, but she said that she really wants the movie to be seen. At least it will be this year. Let me know if you guys are excited. I've been waiting for Wonder Woman forever. It got pushed back a couple of times, and it was supposed to be directly, like, the direct competition of Black Widow this year. I wanted them both to come out and see which one would be better, but, you know, I'm just excited we get one at least. The new title for the Scream movie is out, and it is Scream. It's not very original. I'm sorry, guys. I've actually never seen the Scream movies. This is Scream number 5, I believe. It's called Scream. It also finished production. Deadpool 3 is moving forward with Bob's Burgers writers at Marvel Studios. Could this be a part of the MCU? I think they are going to lean in and get Ryan Reynolds into this through the multiverse. They have to be, because they've been doing Doctor Strange. The multiverse has been heavily implied for the past months with Spider-Man 3. And Ryan Reynolds is probably the best part of the X-Men universe. There's no way they don't have him team up with Marvel's Avengers and get super meta. They have to. I really hope they do. Black Panther 2 will begin filming in July 2021, with actor Tenequeta reportedly be the villain, and Shuri is set to have an expanded role. They have not stated yet if Shuri will be the Black Panther, but it seems to be leaning that way. If they do that, I hope they use M'Baku as a villain, because M'Baku and Shuri would make a very good rivalry, given that M'Baku is a traditionalist and Shuri seems to mock tradition and be more of a progressive, like, I use technology kind of Black Panther. I think it would make a lot more sense for M'Baku to turn to a villain after he sees the fall of his friend and his sister take up the mantle, and he is not for his sister being the Black Panther. I think that would make a lot more sense for M'Baku as a character. So, if that is true, I hope that's the way it goes. I'm not sure who Tenakwata will be playing. I hope I'm saying his name right. I don't know if I am, to be honest. If he is playing someone, I would hope for Kraven the Hunter. I know he's a Spider-Man villain, but I think that he would make a lot more sense as a Black Panther villain. And I would like a person of color to play him, so let me know what y'all think. Dan Trechenberg of 10 Cloverfield Lane will direct the fifth film in the Predator series. Wasn't the last one, like, really bad? I've heard some really bad things about the Shane Black Predator movie. I don't know why they'd be making another one, but yeah, who knows? Maybe it'll be good. MGM is developing a live-action CGI hybrid Pink Panther movie with Jeff Fowler, who directed the recent Sonic film. I don't know if there's a big market for Pink Panther. Maybe there is. Maybe I'm out of the loop. Hopefully it'll be good. I heard really good things about the Sonic movie. Channing Tatum may restart the Dark Universe? According to Deadline, Phil Lord and Chris Miller will be teaming up again with Tatum to do a currently untitled monster project inspired by the famous Universal Monsters, and it would be a modern-day tongue-in-cheek thriller. I love Phil Lord and Chris Miller, but the Dark Universe is basically cursed. It's never gonna happen. Universal, please stop it. 21 Jump Street is gonna have a female-led spinoff, and it gets a new title, Jump Street, Now for Her Pleasure. No one is confirmed for the sequel, but Tiffany Haddish and Awkwafina were both said to be top choices for the project at one point. Okay, this next headline. You ever read a headline and you assume it's something really funny and then it's not? I read this and I was really hoping it was going to be one thing, but it turned out to be something else. Taron Egerton is starring in the Tetris movie at Apple, which will tell the story of the creation of Tetris via computer programmer Alexei Pajtunov during the fall of the Iron Curtain in the USSR. I was really hoping this was going to be more of a emoji movie kind of Tetris movie, but it seems to be more on the lines of The Social Network. So I love Taron Egerton, so I'm excited to see this one. The 355, which was one of the first movies we talked about on this podcast, has been moved back 1 year to January 14th, 2022. It will not come out next year. Unfortunately, kind of sad. I was excited for that one. The next Transformers movie, which is set to reinvent the universe for the franchise, will be directed by Stephen Caple Jr. of Creed 2 fame. If you haven't seen Creed 2, go check out both the Creed movies because they're both great. Stephen Caple Jr. did a great job. I've lost faith in the Transformers movies quite a while ago, although I heard Bumblebee was great. Bullet Train, directed by David Leitch of Deadpool 2 and Atomic Blonde, has assembled an amazing cast. Brad Pitt, Lady Gaga, Michael Shannon, Zazie Beetz, Brian Tyree Henry, Masioka, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Joey King, and Andrew Koji starring in Bullet Train. Five assassins find themselves on a Japanese bullet train, realizing that their individual assignments are not unrelated to the others. I'm a huge fan of a good action film, and David Leitch does good action, so I'm excited for this one. And the cast looks great. Lady Gaga needs to be doing more acting. I loved her in A Star Is Born. Let's go, keep it going. My Hero Academia has announced a third film with posters showing off Deku, Bakugo, Todoroki in new black uniforms. Now, I'm not a huge anime person. It's hard for me to get into anime. It's hard for me to break that wall, I know. If you have any good recommendations, please recommend them to me. But My Hero Academia is definitely the exception. And the two films before this were incredible. Some of the best movie experiences I've had in my lifetime. The fact that they're doing a third movie, it has heavily implied that they weren't going to do a third movie. So the fact that they're doing a third one makes me extremely excited. Very little is known about the film. I can't wait for more news. So let me know what y'all think about that. And let me know what you guys thought about any of the news today so far. Now on to TV news, which there isn't as much as movie news. There was a lot of movie news this week, but there's still some good stuff to talk about, starting with Miss Marvel. Set photos of Miss Marvel have leaked online showing off Kamala Khan in a Captain Marvel Halloween costume and her civilian clothing, wearing a Captain Marvel helmet, jacket, and Avengers t-shirt. Couple of things about this. One, I love the fact that she's wearing a Captain Marvel Halloween costume. It reminds me so much of Miles Morales in the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, where he's wearing the Spider-Man costume. She looks very funny. It has like a fake mohawk too. I love it. It's great. I also love that it's the Endgame version of the look, which would make a lot of sense if someone was a fan of Captain Marvel in the universe. The only time that you would have seen her on Earth was the endgame battle where she destroys the whole ship. That is definitely an entrance to make as a superhero on Earth. So, of course, Miss Marvel would be a big fan of that. Second, I love the fact that she is wearing a Captain Marvel jacket, some Avengers merch. I love when characters wear merch in the universe. And I can't wait to wear some of the merch that she wears, because I'm sure I will find some. Yeah, if you want to see those photos, go ahead and check them out on our Facebook page at Live Action Remake or on our Instagram page at Live Action Remake. Another show in the Arrowverse has been canceled. Black Lightning will end after season 4. I have seen 2 seasons of this show, and I have to say that Cress Williams is the best main actor in the Arrowverse. It's a real shame that his show is ending. I've heard great things about the next 2 seasons, but it's ending. A lot of speculation as to these shows are ending so that way HBO Max can take over all the DC stuff, which I guess makes sense, but it sucks that the Arrowverse is getting hurt so much by this. We've already lost Supergirl. Batwoman got replaced. Arrow finished last season. The Flash, Superman, and Lois. Those are really like the only other ones. Oh, and Legends of Tomorrow. Ugh, are still going on. But it sucks that Black Lightning is the one that ended. So check it out on Netflix. 3 seasons are on Netflix right now if you want to check it out. HBO has been given the green light to adapt The Last of Us into a live action series. I was going to say remake. But anyway, it's fine. That's basically Logan, right? Wasn't Logan just The Last of Us? I don't know. I've heard good things about the game, so let me know if you're excited about that at HBO. Stranger Things adds plenty to the cast for season 4, including Robert Englund from Nightmare on Elm Street. Yep, Freddy Krueger has joined Stranger Things. It's gotta be in a horror role, right? They're not doing him just for his acting. It's gotta be something pretty scary. I'm excited. I've gotten very much into Stranger Things, like right before season 3 came out, so let me know what y'all think about him. WandaVision will reportedly have an office mockumentary style episode. The more I hear about WandaVision, the more I'm excited for it. They seem to be mocking The Office, Full House, I Love Lucy, all the classics, so I can't wait to see what they're doing next. The fact that they would do the mockumentary in such a modern format, so I wonder what other type of sitcoms they're going to do next. We also got a first look at Starfire in Titans season 3. Her look has very much been different from the comic books and the TV shows. They've kept the purple from the first 2 seasons, but now she finally gets the proper Starfire look. I think she looks fantastic. If you want to take a look, check it out on our Facebook page at Live Action Remake. Or our Instagram page at Live Action Remake. And that's pretty much all the news I had for this week. Let me know what y'all think. Are you excited for the Dark Universe to return? Are you excited for Deadpool 3, Wonder Woman, the Tetris movie? Let me know what y'all think. Next, we're going to be talking The Mandalorian. So if you haven't seen the new episode of The Mandalorian, pause the episode right now, go to Disney Plus and check it out. And if you haven't seen any of the episodes of The Mandalorian, pause this episode, take 12 hours out of your day, and watch all 12 straight in a row. It's a great show. Please watch it. Okay, spoilers in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This episode shows the return of Carl Weathers and Cara Dune. I'm sorry, I don't remember Carl Weathers' name. I'm always going to see him as Carl Weathers. And Mando has to help them take out an Empire base in order to clean up their planet while waiting for his Razor Crest to be fixed. It's very much its own like kind of bottle episode. It's fun. It seems to be a little bit of a filler episode like before, and it's nice to see the gangs back together, but we kind of had this momentum going of like Bo-Katan, then I thought, you know, Ahsoka's obviously the next stop, but apparently not. There's a couple of cute Baby Yoda moments. We get Baby Yoda eating cookies. We get him flying on the Razor Crest. I think that was probably the best part of the episode, was his hands up in the air like he was excited. There seems to be a possible connection with the creation of Snoke through cloning in this episode. We see that they're clearly trying to do some kind of cloning. This could be for the Emperor. This could be for their own means. But I think that this is hinting at the creation of Snoke and how Emperor Palpatine was able to create Snoke and use him as his own puppet. That seems to be what Moff Gideon is trying to create for possibly Palpatine. We get a little bit more Moff Gideon, who I was really hoping for a lot more of by this time, but hopefully for the rest of the season, there's a lot more of him. He seems to be now able to track Mando and will hopefully be a much bigger presence for the rest of the season. He seems to also have a robotic army at his disposal. That's going to be interesting since we know that Mando does not like droids. Overall, the episode was pretty fun, but it felt like it kind of slow down the momentum. We're clearly leading up to something really big. The next episode is entitled The Jedi, though, which implies Ahsoka, which I have a problem with since she is no Jedi. She said that in Star Wars Rebels. She's like, I am no Jedi. It was like the best moment in the show. The rest of the episode is kind of forgettable, if I'm going to be completely honest. They have a couple of jokes with, like, the guy that Mando froze in carbonite in the first episode. He's back. Carl Weathers did direct this episode, so first directing job, not bad. It was pretty good. There is one shot which shows a guy on set in a t-shirt and jeans, and it's a blink you'll miss it moment, but if you look for it, you'll find him. There was a mistake. There was a guy from set, so that's kind of funny. But it was a pretty good episode. I'm sorry these thoughts are so rambled right now, but I'm just trying to remember anything particularly interesting. I just remember that there's possibly cloning, and that means Snoke. That has to mean Snoke and Palpatine. So let me know what y'all thought of the new episode. Are you excited for Ahsoka next week? Because Ahsoka will be in the episode next week. It has to be, because it's called The Jedi. Unless there's another Jedi. Either way, there will be Jedi next week. Let me know what y'all think. Next, I'm going to be talking about what I watched this week, which was a lot. A lot of really cool things came out this week. Starting with the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, which overall, I gotta say, I'm about an average Star Wars fan. I know more about Star Wars than the average person, but not nearly enough compared to hardcore Star Wars fans. But as an average Star Wars fan, I had a lot of fun. It has a lot of very funny references. If you like Lego, you're gonna love this special. It was definitely better than The Rise of Skywalker. I don't have much more to say about it because I really don't like talking spoilers about things. And there's a lot of other things that I really want to talk about that came out this week. But if you want a really good breakdown from three very funny guys, check out this week's episode of Pop Culture Reference. And they do a great job breaking down the holiday special. And you may remember Ricardo from the show, who came on about a month ago. They do an awesome job just going into detail about what was cool about the holiday special in a way that, to be frank, I couldn't have done. I'm not as big of a Star Wars fan. So go check out their episode and go check out the holiday special. It's very funny. Next, I want to talk Animaniacs. Oh, I was hyping this up for a minute. It was delightful. It's very reminiscent of the old stuff. I think it's a great way to bring the characters back, making fun of all the time that they've missed. And they use the same voice actors. They make fun of the fact that it's a reboot, while at the same time being very much for kids and for the people who loved the Animaniacs way back when. They get political in a fun, kooky way. And they have a great joke about a Cyclops that is clearly a stand-in for a political figure. I'm not going to say which one. You'll just have to watch. Pinky and the Brain come back. They aren't as funny as I remember personally, but other than that, it's definitely worth a watch if you have very fond memories of the show. Wacko has always been my favorite, and he still lives up to the Wacko I remember. So go check out Animaniacs. It's on Hulu. I believe it's 13 episodes. Very good stuff. Finally, I want to talk about Marvel 616. Marvel 616 is a documentary series exploring different parts of the Marvel universe. Every episode is a deep dive into an extremely specific topic. And it seems like each director basically got free reigns to film about anything that they wanted to. I'd say about six of them are really, really good. One of them's pretty good, and one I'd say you can skip. My three favorites are Higher, Further, Faster, The Marvel Method, and Lost and Found. Higher, Further, Faster goes into female stories in the Marvel Universe and how female stories have changed over time and how female writers have made a big impact in the Marvel Universe, including the creation of Kamala Khan, which was really cool. The Marvel Method shows off what that is in terms of writing and how writers, creators, and artists all work together to create a Marvel comic using the specific Marvel method. I don't want to go too deep into what that is, but it's a really interesting way of how to make a comic. And Lost and Found, my personal favorite episode, was directed by Paul Scheer, and it shows Paul Scheer trying to find a very niche, forgotten comic book storyline to adapt into a Disney Plus series, and him pitching it. He pitches Brute Force. If you don't know Brute Force, join the club, because even as a Marvel fan, I didn't know who Brute Force was. It's a very ridiculous comic, but it's a very funny episode and really talks about how B-list characters become A-list characters at Marvel, how they can change and how they can make them more relatable and update them and make them good again. If there's an episode you could skip, I'd say it's the last one. It's called Spotlight, and it revolves around a high school putting on performances of Miss Marvel and Squirrel Girl. So if you're a big drama geek, which I personally am, maybe you'll enjoy it. Go ahead and check it out. But otherwise, if you're just a Marvel fan looking for some entertaining Marvel-centric documentaries, then that one you can kind of skip. My second least favorite is probably the Japanese Spider-Man. It goes into the making of the Japanese Spider-Man, which I think is a fun story. I think it goes a little bit too much into the character work, though, so that's just me. But all the other episodes are great. I recommend the show as a huge Marvel nerd, but also as someone who likes documentaries. And if you only want to watch one of the episodes, if you find one episode seems pretty interesting, go watch it, because you could watch these out of order. They're not like a story where you have to see 1, 2, 3, 4. They're all different. So check out at least one of them, I'd say. If you're going to check out one, check out Lost and Found, The Marvel Method, or Higher, Further, Faster. They're very good documentaries. Yeah, let me know what you think. I'm going to end off the show with a recommendation, as I usually do. As a huge superhero fan, I often find myself being told by other people to watch certain things, like certain superhero media. And often I regret it because I think superhero media can sometimes be very repetitive, and new worlds and new universes can often feel very reminiscent of other worlds. So when I find one that I really enjoy and that is very different, I have to talk about it, and that is My Hero Academia. My Hero Academia is a universe comprised of people with quirks or superpowers, where 80% of people have them. This means that villains are everywhere, and there are heroes everywhere, professional heroes that work with different agencies and work hand in hand with the police. Not only that, there are schools to become a hero through hero programs as early as high school. The show revolves around the best school and the best class of freshmen, 1A, the highest ranking class, and Izuku Midoriya, an extremely intelligent fanboy who very, very recently gains a superpower as he struggles to control it and be mentored by his favorite superhero, All Might. The universe is the thing that I love the most about the show, because every character has a very unique superpower and uses it differently. And they really go into the fact that this is a profession and there are things to study about being a superhero. They really train the mind to be superheroes, not just the body, not just skills. You have to learn how to adapt, and that's something that's really important in the world of My Hero Academia. The action is incredible. The art style, costuming, different uses of superpowers, all amazing. Even superpowers that you see in other media, like density shifting, shown through a character called Mirio. The way that he uses it, he can't breathe when he is phasing, so he has to use it very quickly. He has to use it intelligently, so every character has their limits. But also, a lot of characters are extremely powerful in trying to figure out how to be useful with that power. There are a lot of really good characters. I think if you watch it, you're going to find at least 7 or 8 that you love. And you're going to find 1 or 2 that you hate, because it's an anime and there's always a ridiculously pervy character for some reason. I hate that. They have some of the best villains in a universe I've seen consistently, back to back. All the villains are fun or interesting and have good arcs. So check out My Hero Academia. It's on Hulu. Watch it dubbed or subbed. I don't judge. I know subbed people judge, so watch either way. It's good. It's a great show. And check out the 2 movies that I talked about earlier. There's 2 Heroes and Heroes Rising, 2 of the best cinematic experiences I've had in my lifetime. It's a great show. It gets a little emotional at times for no reason, but other than that, check it out. And that's really all I have for y'all this week. Thank you so much for listening this month. It's been a great second month of Live Action Remake. We got a new logo. We got more people on our Facebook page, our Instagram page. So keep supporting. Keep checking us out. If you can, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Live Action Remake. I'd very much appreciate it. Or send us an email at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear some recommendations. I'd love to hear some thoughts. Please, go for it. Talk trash to me. I don't care. Go ahead. Send me an email, please. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you all have a good one. And stay safe. Wear a mask. Do what you love. I'm signing out.